The Electrician Podcast, powered by Schneider Electric. We're bringing you the electrical industry experts you need to hear to discuss the topics you need to know about.
So guys, thank you so much for joining us for the Electricians Podcast, powered by our friends over at Schneider Electric. My name is Adam Callow, and I'm the founder and CEO of Expert Trades, and I have the luxury of jumping on these mics, speaking to these three gentlemen in front of me today. Let's do some introductions, guys. Jordan, how about yourself? Who you are? What do you do?
Hi, I'm Jordan. Artisan Electrics is my company. We are electricians based in Cambridge, but we're rapidly expanding throughout the UK at the moment. And we have a YouTube channel which has over 70,000 subscribers, where we just show everyone what we do on a day-to-day basis, show off our work. That's me.
Absolutely love that. And because of the nature of today's topic, where we're talking about apprentices, Jordan, do you have any apprentices right now? What's your current experiences with apprentices?
We have one potential apprentice, but we are struggling to get him into college. So maybe we'll talk about that a bit later. But yeah, he's an absolute diamond, but can't get him a college place at the moment.
Super interesting. Yeah, one of the topics I'd love to jump into. Moving on to you, Mr. Curry. How are you?
Yeah.
Old friend. I'm good, thank you, mate. We know each other too well, but you, for everyone listening, do you want to do a quick intro?
Yeah, my name's Ben. I'm an electrician in Derby. We've got seven electricians, two of them are apprentices. We've also had a few apprentices come and go over the years. And obviously, I was an apprentice at one point as well, so hopefully I'll have a bit of insight for this show.
Nice, brilliant stuff. And last but definitely not least, Tom, do you want to give an introduction to who you are, dude?
So I'm Tom, third year apprentice, hopefully qualifying soon. I work for RS Electrical in Cannock and sort of surrounding areas, and I recently won the Sparks Learner of the Year competition.
Oh, congratulations, dude. We're looking to jump into that and see what that's about. All right, guys, there's a couple of topics from my side that I'd love to get into, but just from those introductions, I'm already getting off topic because Ben, I want to start with your experience from being an apprentice to having gone through apprentices. Some have come, some have stayed, and you've retained some. Just share your experience of what it's been like over Electrical Innovations from you being an apprentice through to you hiring them.
Yeah, so I got into the industry via the Modern Apprenticeship with the JTL, which was, as I know now, they'd only just started back when I started my apprenticeship. And I was lucky enough to, the careers officer at school pushed me towards electrical. I applied via the JTL, who then found us a placement with a local employer. And I was really lucky in that our apprenticeship was really varied. We did a lot of work, and not just domestic or not just commercial, did a bit of everything. Every day was a different challenge. And I'd say that's a lot of what we do now. Our guys are working for us at the moment. I'm happy that when they do come out of their training and they go into the AM2 at college, they will know what to do, like all aspects of the trade they'll have had some experience of. Whereas some of the guys in their college classes, like they might be really good at doing domestic, but they've never made off an SWA. Or the other way around, they can go into a factory and fault find three-phase machinery far better than even I can. But ask them to wire a two-way and intermediate switch in a house, they've just got no chance. So I think it's very important for companies to have a good variety for your apprenticeship, but it's not always the case. So the challenges we've had over the years is, while that's good for the scope of your apprenticeship, it can't always be good for the day-to-day picking up. You know, if you're doing the same thing over and over and over, you'll get very good at it very quick. Whereas if it's a new challenge every day, that can be sometimes difficult to learn. So we've seen both sides of that, for sure.
Tom, out of curiosity, given the fact that you're sort of in this position right now, what does your sort of like scope of work look like? Are you on the same thing regular, becoming an expert in that, or are you getting experience across a range of different practices, and which one do you prefer?
So I do a range of everything, a bit of domestic, do a fair amount of commercial, a little bit of industrial, much prefer the commercial side. I'd rather work with like 35 mil plus than little bits of like 1 mil, but I quite enjoy the variety. I think that's what makes the apprenticeships good and important, because if you get with a good company, they'll give you the variety of everything. I think the only thing I haven't done is pyro Yes, I can go from one day from Terminator like 70 mil plus SWA to the next day putting in downlights. I think that's what makes that important.
Cool. So diversity is key. And obviously from Jordan and Ben's perspective, as they are trying to find good apprentices. Tom, from your perspective, what are you looking for when you sort of come to the market to find, I think your words were, a good employer? What are you really looking for? Diversity sounds important. What else are you looking for? If people are listening to this right now to say, I'm in Jordan's position, I'm struggling to find good people, or I think Jordan's actually in a position where he's got a good person and struggling to get a placement. But if someone's listening and saying, how do I attract a good apprentice? What should the employer be doing?
I think you want to show off that you do a diverse amount of things. You don't want the people, I mean, I've got friends at college who just do houses day after day. So I think by showing off on your social media, hey, look, I'm up a cherry picker doing this today, it's a bit more interesting. People go, oh, that's something different I don't expect electricians to do. And I think that's what my misconceptions is at the start of this was, oh, electricians, they're going banging a socket for Mrs. Jones down the road. And suddenly you very quickly realize, hang on, there's a lot more to it. So as an employer, the best thing you can do is just show off what you do, brag about it, really.
You've just sort of teed me up for the perfect segue, which is for Artisan Electrics in the corner over there on this video is, he's got a really popular YouTube channel showing off what he does. Jordan, out of curiosity, when you found your apprentice, how much did your social media presence play into that recruitment funnel? Has it helped you or hindered you?
Yeah, so all of our recruitment comes through social media now. I mean, our apprentice, it was a case of we put an Instagram story out saying we're looking for someone, and that's how we got him now. I mean, he's not technically an apprentice because we can't get him in college, but we're treating him like an apprentice and trying to teach him as much as we can. We just hired another electrician. He's actually starting on Monday next week. He came to us through Instagram as well. And we just done a group interview yesterday with four more candidates, and they were all YouTube subscribers. So yeah, it's really interesting how the recruitment process for us is totally different to the traditional way of doing things.
And just out of curiosity, Ben, I saw you nodding there, and I know that you've grown the team through the time that we've known each other really fast. How have you found, one, people joining the team, and then the apprentices? How has social media or any other channel impacted your recruitment?
Yeah, so I'd say out of all of our staff at the moment, 80% of them have come through socials. I think the biggest thing has been just putting out there what we're doing and what sort of company we are, and people have been attracted by it. And this time last year, we had 3, and now we've got 10 staff. So I was complaining all the time about I can't find good staff.
And then I know.
Wouldn't say yeah to you. we had many conversations about it. But like, if you look at how many hours a week, you know, I'm really good at doing consumer units. I do however many hours a month of consumer units. I'm really good at filling test sheets. I do how many hours a month of test sheets. How many hours a month of recruiting do I do? It was like close to 0. So as soon as you started focusing on that and making the Facebook stories about it and Facebook posts explain to people why they should come work for us, it just made it a lot easier. And our current, our youngest, he's the older apprentice, but he's our first year. He came to us through a Facebook post. Brad, our older apprentice, came to us through Facebook as well. So local Facebook groups for your local area has been what's working for us.
Nice. Seems like social's such a big impact, or has had such a big impact to your businesses. And to Tom's point, it's showing the diversity of the work that you do as a bit of a PR piece, because you've got to attract good talent. I guess one of the things that I'd like to know is, if I ask like Jordan and Ben, if you were to start your careers again and you were to go through an apprenticeship, which areas of the electrical industry would you guys each be gravitating towards? What do you think is interesting or exciting at the moment that apprentices should be potentially spending a little bit more time on, so they're like future-proofing their career? And because it's such an open question and quite a technical one, I'm going to wait for one of you guys to go, yeah, I'll tackle that. Who wants to take that one first?
I can take it.
There we go, Ben.
I can take it. Domestic's best. It's you learn people skills, you learn to speak to customers and deal with problems. On a big commercial job as an apprentice, you'll always have a whole team of people to hold your hand. Whereas when with domestic, it's quite often one electrician, one apprentice, direct to the customer. Commercial work, sometimes you might not even meet the customer. Customer might be elsewhere and you're just visiting a site to do a job. You may never even know who the customer is. Learning the day-to-day skills of dealing with problems on the spot, speaking to customers, making arrangements and things like that, I think it's a real big deal. It's very important, certainly for the apprentices to learn quickly. It's one of the things that can really make them excel very quickly.
Yeah, great. And George, just before I come over to you, sort of on the same question, is Tom, from your experience of what you're getting through at the moment, how much of that sort of resonates? How much are you interacting with customers? Do you wish you dealt with more customers? Like, what do you think about what Ben just said?
So, yeah, it's a good point about domestic that you do get a lot. You know the customers a lot more. You do speak to them. I mean, I'd say I'm fortunate with a lot of the commercial work I've done that it's been for the same sort of company that we've done work for. So I do get to know facility managers really well. And so, yeah, if you, it depends which aspect you're going. If you're going on the really big sites, then definitely need to get into the domestic as well, just to get the people skills and to understand. And that's what a lot of people perhaps don't get, is what you do and don't say and how you perhaps phrase something. So you might have a problem, but you don't go straight up and say, customer, here's my problem. You go, oh, look, here's a slight thing, but don't worry, we're on it, we're sorting it. And that, it's the reassurance. It's just the way you speak to people. You can give exactly the same message, but say it two different ways. And the customer, one time the customer were there going, flipping it, I ain't having these lot back again. And the other time they'll be going, hang on, they've got a problem, but they've sorted it. They've kept me in the loop. They've sorted it for me. And that makes all the difference.
But just out of curiosity, Tom, did you learn that from your current employer? I guess my question I'm trying to work out is, where's the responsibility sit from an employer to teach people skills? Or is the employer looking for people that already have good people skills and then teaching them the technical skills of the role? Like, would you say you went into your job with strong people skills, or did you learn it on the job?
I'd say it was a bit of both. Did a bit of a stint in retail before this. The moment I left school, I did about a year in retail. So that gave me a fair bit of the customer experience and dealing with people that perhaps aren't best pleased with what's gone on. But yeah, a lot of it I had to learn on the job, and how you perhaps phrase things. And it's a bit different from saying, yeah, we haven't got that in stock, to suddenly, oh, you'd like that variation. Well, sure. Or you can't do it because of this. And you, rather than saying, no, I can't do it, you sort of say, oh, I can't do it like how you'd want it, but if you let me do this, or you allow us to do this, then we can. And that I had to learn on the job.
Yeah, providing solutions to people. And I think I think one of the things I just took away from what you just said there, Tom, is if someone is applying for a job as an apprentice, they might look at their CV and go, well, I've only done retail, that's not applicable. But if you're an apprentice or looking for a placement, turn that into a positive, because I've done retail, which means I've got people skills. I've learned how to deal with people, which if you frame it that way, the way Tom just did, that's actual strength when you're applying for a role. Jordan, over to you. If you were to get your apprenticeship again, go way back, start your career, where would you be focusing to give yourself as much opportunity and future-proofing yourself?
I think I'd be looking for a company who's kind of on the cutting edge of new technology and stuff that's coming out, rather than maybe the more traditional companies who don't touch that stuff. So like for us, we're doing a lot of EV charging, for example. That's something that it's only just scratching the surface at the moment. It's going to be huge. So for people like Tom and other new apprentices who is just starting, their career is going to be massively affected by that going forward, you know. Stuff like smart home technology as well, all these kind of smart integrated products, a lot of more traditional companies sort of don't touch that stuff, but that is getting more and more popular now. And I think I would want to be learning about those things so that I could be useful in a world where all those skills are going to be absolutely vital.
Yeah, I think it makes complete sense. And I guess it's a loaded question, but actually it's so loaded I won't even ask it. But in order for an apprentice to know that they're applying for a company that is diverse, check out their social media. Like if they are talking about it on social and they are displaying their new technologies, that's the sort of thing that apprentices are looking for. So on the employer side, if you are doing all this interesting, innovative learning and technology, but not talking about it, you're probably not going to find the right talent for your business. Let me look at it from a bit of a different angle. Well, again, just for Ben and Jordan here, when you bring someone in as an apprentice, what are your expectations of them? Like, what's a realistic expectation of what you need from them from an output perspective? And then how much time are you putting into their personal development? How do you think about an apprentice joining your team from a how much you need out of them and how much you're putting into them? What's that balance look like? Ben,
Oh man, you know what? We've had both ends of the spectrum, really. So when we took Brad on, who works for us now, he didn't know how to sweep up. He couldn't walk in his work boots. And he's a third year now, and he's great, and he's learned a lot. But at the start, I was like, right, we're going to get an apprentice in. He's going to learn quick. It was great. And it literally took a year for him to know which way around a screwdriver went. The other side of that is Casey has come in, and he's the opposite. He thinks he can take over the world straight away. He's 21, 22 this week, actually. He's just started with us, and he's gung-ho, wants to get stuck in. So a lot of it depends on the person. Like, we know, although Brad has been, and he won't mind me saying this, he will probably watch this, he won't mind me saying it at all, he's been slower to learn everything, slower to take it up. I know he will be a good electrician. I know that when he eventually gets it and down the line, he'll be really good with customers. He'll never have a problem. Like, he's got all the soft skills that you need, and he'd be good in any customer-facing role, not just an electrical or a trade role. Learning the hands-on skills has been a bit more difficult for him, but he's got there in the end, and he's good now. He's out doing works where we can set him up with some stuff, leave him to it, no problems. He just gets on with it. Go back and check on him, and that's what you should be doing at the later stages of your apprenticeship. So from my point of view, I had to learn a lot of that as a business owner of what should I expect from these lads, and having a 15-year-old straight out of school was probably not the right decision at the time, looking back, but it's worked out all right in the end.
Nice, appreciate it. There's a couple of follow-ups I want to punch into, but they might be covered off of Jordan's answer. So, Jordan, how about yourself? How do you think about, and just so I understand, is it your first apprentice that you are trying to get placed right now? Is that the first time you've had an apprentice?
No, so we had one, and...
Let's explore this. It sounds like it didn't work out. Let's punch into this.
Yeah, it didn't work out, unfortunately, and I can't really talk about it that much, but basically... it didn't work out and we had to let him go. So that was last year. And then we started searching again and found Ruben, who we've got now.
Appreciate, Jordan, sorry to interrupt. I appreciate you can't probably talk about the details, but what if you had to summarize a learning that we can share with the audience, what was a learning from that experience that you can share?
Just be really selective, I think, about who you choose. I sort of jumped into it a little bit too quickly, I think, and I missed a few things that maybe I shouldn't have missed. So it's interesting comparison now with Ruben, because he's all the stuff that you look for in an apprentice. Like, I was thinking when you were asking earlier, what do I look for? Obviously, you can't expect them to know how to wire up a plug or anything like that. So you're starting from scratch with that. But what you can expect is stuff like turn up on time, not be on your phone all the time, pay attention to what's going on and try and learn as much as they can and be keen about learning even out of hours. So like Ruben now, he keeps up with all the electrical stuff on YouTube. He takes cable home with him and practices how to strip the cables at home and stuff like that. And it's all those little things, like someone who's really keen and just wants to learn even in their own time when they're not working with us. That's a really good sign, you know. And then just taking the initiative as well. So like Ruben now, if he sees that some cleaning up needs doing, he'll jump to it. He'll get the dustpan and brush out or get the Hoover out and he'll just do it, you know. And he's always there to try and help you in any way that he can, even if he can't do the electrical side of things yet. He's trying to support as much as he can, which is so important. That initiative is really key.
Yeah, to your point, you're having someone with a... like no foundation on a technical skill, but from a recruitment perspective, you're looking to find people that want to learn, like are willing to apply themselves. And as you were talking, there was a quote that I remember, which was hire slow and fire fast, which is what I love. And the other one is hiring is guessing and firing is knowing. So I completely am on the same page in terms of just take a little bit more time to find the right person and be selective, because it's amazing how much, I don't want to say pain, but like problems that someone that is the wrong fit for your company can create. And I guess for people listening, you've got to sort of work out what's the culture that you want to develop in your company, because that needs to get passed on to anyone that you bring into your team. Let me ask like a more challenging question, guys. And then I'm dying to hear Tom's feedback on this, which is from an apprentice's perspective, is you guys are pouring a lot of time and energy. And to Ben's point, you might spend a year getting someone up to a position where they can actually create value for your company. How do you guys think about how much time you put into an apprentice and retaining them to a point where they don't just up and leave and create a competing brand? It's like the elephant in the room when people are talking about apprenticeships, but it has to be discussed. How do each of you guys think about that challenge in terms of educating someone, introducing them to your customers, because they're likely on your air quotes patch? How do you guys tackle that? Who wants to tackle that one first? You guys got any strong views on this?
Yeah, I'll take that one. I think it's all about the mentality, really. Like if you're just there to give and invest in somebody, you've got to have that trust that they will pay it back at some point in the long run. And they know that, you know, I mean, you are investing a lot of time and energy in training somebody, and you're teaching them a skill that will set them up for the rest of their life, you know. And let's face it, apprenticeships are kind of like gold dust at the moment. So anyone who gets one is like super grateful and super lucky that they've got an apprenticeship. And then if they've got a good employer who's really willing to train them well and invest in that training with them, I think as an employer, if you just give your best to your apprentice, then you hope that they will return it in loyalty ultimately. And, you know, staying on with the company, if you treat them well, there's no reason why they wouldn't. And you can't sort of go from the start just being suspicious that they're going to kind of drop you as soon as they're qualified, because that just doesn't create a good vibe in the company.
Yeah, I think you're sort of alluding to the point that as I was actually asking the question, I thought this is probably actually solved in the hiring process, where as part of that hiring process or sort of selecting an apprentice, is unless you feel like there's a potential long-term relationship and two-way trust, then it's probably a no. If you've got any red flags in the hiring process, don't engage it, because to your point there, Jordan, is it's just going to be this thing that creates a bad vibe all the time. Ben, what's your views on the whole thing, pouring so much time into Brad? I'm saying that because I know Brad.
Yeah, you mentioned about him being on your patch, and it was something I should have probably mentioned in the previous question, is when we hired Brad, we only advertised the position in our local Facebook group for the village. So we have Spotted around here, Spotted Chelleston. So I know that there's a secondary school, you know, a mile from the office, and there'd be 200 kids leaving that school at 16, and half of them are going to be lads. So there's 100 potential people we could hire in Chelleston. And the number one issue, which Jordan mentioned, is getting them into work, as ridiculous as it sounds. But if they're the other side of Derby, it's still Derby, it's not far away, but it could still be 30 minutes, it could be an hour if they're on the bike, you know. Whereas if they're in Chelleston, local to us in our village, they are, you know, 5 minutes walk. And that was a big factor. It was, if we could find someone local first who ticks all the boxes, then great. And that's what we've done with both with the guys. On the flip side of that is they're very much on your patch. So I think that comes not just to take an apprentice on, it's just good business practice. Build, you know, they say build a moat around the business, of like make your business such a way where someone just can't come in and take you out. You know, if there's another electrician in Chelleston who starts advertising cheaper work, like, I'm not bothered. Go, you know, you want cheap, go with him, whatever. I'm not bothered. You know, you come to us because you know the quality of us. And that's the same as if you're training an apprentice, and he's just going to set up. He's got a long way to go. All the advertising, all the marketing, reviews, goodwill, general word of mouth and quality of work. There's a lot more to it than just setting up tomorrow and getting the work in if you've done the job properly. If you're not a very good electrician or a very good electrical company, then yes, you are at risk of someone just coming in and taking all your work, which, you know, it's kind of why we've grown so much as we have recently, and we still only cover a small area. We've done pretty much that, but it's, you know, other electricians out there haven't done that job. So if their apprentices set up on their own, then maybe they would be in trouble, but we're not fussed about that. Hopefully they will. You know, if we've trained the lads good enough that one day they can go and set up on their own and do a good job of it, then that's good, isn't it?
point. I do like the mindset of building a business so good that no one wants to try and compete with it, is what I took away from that. Is just, if you build a great business, why would someone leave? I think is a good summary there. Tom, what's your perspective on this in terms of you being an apprentice and entering the sort of electrical industry? How do you balance your sort of aspirations of working for a company compared to owning your own company? And just generally, what's your views on that as a career path for you? What are you thinking personally?
I think sort of going back to the employers, though, they need to train you well enough that you can leave, but treat you good enough that you don't want to.
I loved that comment, which was train you well enough that you can leave, but treat you well enough that you don't. And just to pull it back to that is, what is your current employer doing to treat you well enough that you're thinking, I want to stay here? And then I'm going to do a whistle round to Jordan and Ben in terms of what's the last bits of advice that if an apprentice is listening to this, what's the summary that you want these apprentices to hear? So, Tom, what's your employer doing that makes you excited to keep working for him?
So he listens and understands that, hang on, I've got a bit more of a technical side. So goes and finds the jobs that mean that I can excel perhaps a bit more with controls or like fire alarms. I've sort of got into that a bit. So he's put me on a course, allowing me to do that. And so you sort of sit there going, I'd like to have a dabble with this. I'd like to have a go. And he goes, yeah, sure. I'll put you on a course. I'll let you do that. So you're suddenly there going, you suddenly realize how big the world is out there. And you can go, look, I can go and have a play. And someone's willing to support me through that and encouraging me. I think that's very important to have.
Like that. It sounds like having an employer that, to use Jordan's words, is just puts a lot of time into you, just continually spends time and wants to grow your career. And what the, I guess the feeling I'm getting, and this is my words, not yours, mate, but it's if someone's willing to spend so much time and money on you and training you up, is loyalty is created. So you'll want to stay and support him in the long run. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, that's definitely what it is. And if they can keep you happy, then why would you want to leave?
Yeah, completely agree. Jordan, let's just do like a little last minute whip around. I appreciate Tom's views on that. Let's just say there's hundreds of apprentices listening to this right now. What's your advice to them as they sort of enter their careers in this industry?
Just make sure that you invest time, not just at work, but at home as well, to learn as much as you can. Because there's so much information out there now for apprentices that wasn't there when I was doing an apprentice, or some of the older guys were, because of social media. You know, you can learn twice as fast now because you can watch other people work as well out of work. So I'd say take advantage of all those resources that are available to you, and that will really help you to progress.
Excellent advice, mate. Ben, final comments.
Just be nice. It's like, it's not difficult. It's like, if you're a nice lad and you're easy to talk to, you're going to go well. The main thing is, we get so many applications. Like, it's unbelievable how many applications we get. We've always got job ads out and we get them in all the time. And a lot of people, it's like a 3-line email, I'm looking for an apprenticeship. And it's like, come on, you know, stroke the ego.
What stands out? This is a great topic to punch into. What comes through your door that make, because like you said, and Jordan said, it's like gold dust right now getting the apprenticeship. What comes into your inbox that makes you go, I want to read this, or I want to meet this person? Give some people some inside hacks of how to get attention.
It's that easy. If you're applying for a job with a company, then when you write to that company to tell them you want a job, tell the company that you understand who they are and what they do. Because it's just like, stroke the ego. Like, Jordan, I'd love a job with Artisan Electrics. I've watched all your YouTube videos. They're brilliant. My favorite one was Job X, where you did X, Y, Z. It was brilliant. I loved the way you spoke to the customer. It was really good. I'd love to fit them EV charge points the same as you're doing. I'd love the chance.
Do you want a job, Ben?
So, you know, and then the other one is local. Just local's best. It's always best. If you've got an electrical company within 5 miles of your house, it's just, you know, get in touch. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, Instagram, all the rest. Find out what they're doing. Stalk them, interact with them, talk to them. And then when you come to apply, You know, they'll have seen that you're interacting. All these people who've got these electrical Instagram accounts, they've not got some social media manager looking after them. Yes, my wife does our social media for us, but you know that I'm replying to the comments, and you've got a direct line there straight into the owners of the business. Interact with them, show them that you're interested. And it's just like, it's never been easier, but they make it so difficult.
I think your point there is right, is it's never been easier, which means it's so easy to apply for so many jobs at the same time. Whereas an apprentice should really be selective and go, I actually really want to work for Electric Innovations. I've heard how much time they sink into people like Brad, so I can get a long-term learning opportunity here. Then pick the person you want to work for and then do the work to get their attention. Tom, for other apprentices listening to this right now, for someone that's won the Sparks Award, what is your top tip for apprentices to get the most out of their employer? What are you doing that helps you get more value from being an apprentice?
I think a lot of it goes back to, like you said, like watching people's videos, like yourself, Jordan, like the likes of Thomas Nagy and DCES. Do the outside work. Make sure you can go to work one day and be like, yeah, I know a bit about this. And when your boss goes, why do you know that? Oh, I looked at it last night on YouTube, or I did that. Just always learn. And things that you don't quite think apply to you, doesn't matter. Just learn, understand it. You don't have to completely know it, but if you've got a bit of knowledge of everything, you suddenly stand out a lot more than everyone else.
Absolutely top advice. Always be learning and demonstrate it. Guys, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I would be a poor host if I didn't give the opportunity to the two guys on there that potentially are looking for apprentices right now. So let's just do a quick shameless plug segment. Firstly, Jordan, if people want to learn more about you, where do they go?
YouTube. Just search Artisan Electrics on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. There's over 300 videos. I think you've got hours and hours of content that you can learn about what it's like to be an electrician.
Love that. Go and hit subscribe, people. And Ben, last but not least, where can people learn about Electrical Innovations?
Yeah, you can find us everywhere online. So all the social media channels, just look for at ElecIn, and you'll find us. Spend most of my time on Instagram, I guess, or LinkedIn. LinkedIn, that's the secret source for electricians, that's for sure. So, but yeah, hopefully we'll see you on social media.
Guys, thanks so much for your time. Stay well. Speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening. If you are enjoying this show, please leave a review. Hit subscribe and stay tuned for more episodes.